Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
To talk about this loss and try and make some sense of what we watched, we bring in Dan Duggan from The Athletic, was out there in Denver covering the Giants and the postgame and all of it. Dan, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, it took me, I'm a little late here because it took me a long time to try and make sense of that. I mean, I've covered a lot of crazy games, covering this team, a lot of crazy losses, but that one might have taken the cake. That was as wild as they come, and the post-game locker room vibe was about as down and angry and upset and all those emotions as you can imagine. So this was a lot to take in, and I'm still kind of processing everything that happened in that game.
All right, so let's start with the post-game locker room. And I mentioned to our listeners that people can look it up. They can Google it. I've actually posted it on, reposted it on Twitter, on X, in my feed, that Brian Burns was caught on video with some expletive laced. He didn't intend it, but reaction in the post game. And then we heard his interview afterwards, and he references that pivotal play, the 29-yard completion after Jackson Dart has just led the Giants back. They're ahead. They miss the extra point. They're up by two. And shades of that collapse, shades of the defense not holding at the end of regulation against the Cowboys. And, here they are, and they rush three and drop eight, as Brian Burns said. And so I'm curious, watching some of that reaction, paint a picture for us. What were you hearing in the locker room? And was there, with that anger from the defense, is some of that directed at their own defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I'd say it's almost more of what you didn't hear, because anytime a question went down that path, guys just kind of sidesteps that Dexter Lawrence had like a long, pregnant pause and just really didn't answer when he asked if he wanted to bring more pressure. But I hadn't seen that Burns video before getting into the locker room. And when we got into the locker room, he was as emotional as you don't usually see NFL players, emotions come out, if you know what I'm saying. Like, he was moved to tears after this game. I've very rarely seen that, certainly not from Burns. He's usually one of the more level-headed guys. So to see that, you could tell how much of a toll this loss took on him. But then, you saw the anger that, by the time we spoke to him, had subdued. But I think that's a big thing kind of looming over this loss. I mean, you look at where this team goes from here, and like Shane Bowen is, I think, very much in the crosshairs. I mean, you think about it, I mean, they played three quarters of brilliant football today, and all obviously anyone's going to remember is 33 points in the fourth quarter, and totally understandably. But I just think the thing there is, if the players have lost faith and confidence in him, there's kind of no coming back from that. And so I can't say that that's where they're at right now, but there's been enough breadcrumbs, and then you see that clip of Burns, and again, that's in the heat of the moment walking off the field. You do wonder about that. So listen, I'm I'm flying home tomorrow, so I'll be in the air. And like, it's one of the things you might have to be on Shane Bowen and watch tomorrow, honestly. Because if we're seeing glimpses of it, you know it's worse internally in that locker room. So I don't know if that's something where they'll act on it, but it does feel like there's a lot of frustration building up there. And again, a lot of it's been veiled comments about the way he's called the game, and particularly these late game situations. But it's, again, if it's bubbling up, you know, just under the surface to us, you know it's going deeper internally.
You posted something on X, and if you can take our listeners through this, that pivotal play, again, the Giants have gone up by two. They know they cannot give up a field goal. You're at elevation, so you really have to hold firm there and not give up a big play. And can you give more context to the personnel that were on the field at the end there when they do only rush three and drop eight into coverage with all the injuries that the Giants had suffered in this game to drop eight? What kind of personnel were they putting on the field there?
Yeah, so I mean, the injuries loomed large. Obviously, once they lost Paulson Adebo, Deontay Banks came in the game, and they certainly picked on him. They lost Javon Holland. Dane Belton stepped in. It was certainly serviceable, had that big play down around the goal line. But at that last play, they were going seven defensive backs. They're digging about as far down the depth chart as you can at that point. So those guys like Nick Jones and Bo Braid, I'd have to look up. I don't know if they played a snap on defense all year. Now, those guys really weren't even involved in the play, so can't necessarily fault them, but it's one of these deals where do you want to potentially lose the game with Dexter Lawrence on the sideline, with Abdul Carter on the sideline, and not bring any pressure and allow Bo Nix to stand back there and fire that pass? And again, that was Drew Phillips in coverage. I think Tyler Newbin was the safety who was kind of in that area. So guys who would be on the field no matter what, but it's just more the philosophical decision there to roll with so many DBs, obviously not bring any pressure. And, it, you know, wasn't the same exact play as the Cowboys, but the result was, you know, it's a position where you can't give up a big completion there. They do. It's almost too easy once again. And, of course, you know, from there, they're in field goal range, and then Banks gets beat on the big pass of Sutton, and it's almost like a chip shot game winner, which is kind of incomprehensible. And you consider the situation there where Denver started that drive to have a pretty easy game-winning field goal is kind of crazy.
Talking to Dan Duggan from The Athletic about the Giants and the historic collapse in the fourth quarter loss to the Broncos. And, Dan, were there some moments of game management or play calling that you found questionable in this game from Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka?
Yeah, it's one of the things, like I said, I was processing everything. I have to like really go back and play those scenarios out, because the thing that I tweeted this too, that what's so fascinating, to blow a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter while scoring two touchdowns, that feels like it's almost impossible to do. And, you know, obviously the one sin Dark commits was the interception, which was a killer. But then he bounces back and gets you with that, you know, pretty miraculous touchdown drive there that should have been, you know, kind of the crowning moment of his young career. But there was, you know, so obviously the interception, and that's a third down there where, I mean, obviously he must have been fooled by the coverage or the pressure got to him because he threw it right to the guy. So I don't know if that's necessarily a play call. You maybe just the awareness from a young player. Like the one thing we can't do here is throw an interception because a punt.
Yeah, I thought there, you know, Tiki Barber said it in our postgame show here. I've said it is that in that situation, you have a 10-point lead. It's late in the game there. And, you know, you're talking about 5 minutes left or so in the game. Is why not on third and eight, hand off and use clock and not let your rookie quarterback, why put him in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, certainly a fair second guess, or, you know, I'm sure a first guess in the moment for a lot of people. Because then they had the next possession. The next possession was the two runs. It's like third and eight, and he tries to hit Wandale. It's kind of a desperation heave there. That goes incomplete, and so they stop the clock there and say, hey, if at least you run it there, you at least, you know, run some clock. Or I don't know what Denver's timeout situation was off the top of my head. But, yeah, so, I mean, I think that's what we always do in these situations. In the moment, I didn't feel they were egregious. The run game, you know, you think about last week, they ran out the last 7 minutes of the game. If you get something like that today, then it's, you know, it's not even a problem. But they didn't get anything on those runs, and you're facing third, medium, third, and long. And that's obviously a problem against this defense. Here's one area I'll kind of note. Maybe this is picky. I don't know. But when you talk about game management, the Giants have a timeout in their pocket there.
Yep.
Denver completes that pass. Now, obviously, that's a they're scrambling, so it's not a great situation for Denver. You don't want to stop the clock. But when you see Brian Burns, who's clearly hobbled, struggling to get back to the line, is it better to take the time out there to not give up the extra 5 yards, or you're trying to, you know, have them spike the ball? I think that the yardage is more important than the down or the time in that spot. So I think that's one that, you know, in the heat of the moment, maybe it's easy for us to say Burns almost got back, but that's one I'll kind of second guess. Like,
100%.
100%.
That one, I've mentioned that. I thought that was, should have absolutely been a timeout. And to your point, you can wait until you're fairly, you know, you've let the clock wind down a little. You don't have to call it right away. But when you see Burns hobbling like that, call it. Don't give up the 5 yards. That at that point really was, you know, that's putting them in field goal range. They were not quite there yet. That's putting them in field goal range. I think you have to call the timeout there. So
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
You know, we've talked about Jackson Dart, and in this game, obviously, the interception, I think he didn't quite get his legs. Somebody was sort of pulling at his legs. He doesn't quite get his legs under him, and he underthrows that ball. It's a bad pass there, no doubt about it. But overall, against the second-ranked defense in the league, he throws three touchdown passes. He rushes for another 283 yards of passing. And it was only 15 of 33, you know, in terms of completion percentage, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a perfect game. He missed some throws or whatever. But, you know, while it's not a perfect game, you look at 32 points on the scoreboard. How would you evaluate Jackson Dart on this day?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, obviously, if the defense doesn't have that meltdown at the end there, we're talking, I have a much different discussion, because the last image of Jackson Dart is straining and diving for the game-winning touchdown, and that's all we're going to remember. And, yeah, I mean, obviously, the stat line, a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns. The completion percentage, like, that's a really good defense. You're in a hostile environment. You don't have, obviously, you don't have Malik Nabers. We can probably stop mentioning that, because he isn't coming back, but you don't even have Darius Slayton. So you're throwing to Wanda Robinson, the tight ends, and then, I mean, these other receivers didn't even have a catch, whether it be Lil Jordan Humphrey or, you know, Bo Collins through the PI, but didn't have a catch. Jalen Hyatt didn't have a catch. So he's going in there fighting, you know, one hand tied behind his back, so I'm not going to worry about his completion percentage. I thought he was, like, really on point. A lot of his decisions, I thought, were really good, you know, early in the game, where some of the incompletions were drops. Theo Johnson had a couple drops or a couple balls that, you know, you'd like to see your tight end make the catch on. And even some of his incompletions were just, you know, maybe a misfire. It's inaccurate, but he was making the right decision. Like, he was not putting the ball in harm's way. He can't think of too many balls that, you know, could have or should have been intercepted. Like, I felt like he was really, you know, reading a very complex defense very well. It wasn't a game where he could use his legs as much, or he was forced to be in the pocket. I still thought he did a good job there. Obviously, the touchdown to Bellinger was a great play where he kind of bought some time, steps up, and Bellinger, you know, gets behind the coverage. That play that kind of got him going, I really thought, was that Wanda Robinson play where it's like he's rolling out the you know, page one of the quarterback handbook is do not throw across your body over the middle. He gets away with it, though, because he does have that gunslinger attitude. So, no, I thought he played, like, an excellent game. I don't know, you can't just say, like, other than the interception was huge and played a crucial role in the game. But the fact that he did come back and answer with that touchdown drive, I mean, that fourth and 19 when he hits Wandale, I think it, I don't know if that would have been short or not. Like, obviously, the roughing the passer negated it.
But it was right there on fourth and 19.
That would have been a hell of a measurement. He just has that, like, that it factor. And it's crazy that he's 2-2. But it's like, I feel like he's played, pretty damn well in all four of these games. So I think that's one of the things you can take away. Like, as bad as that fourth quarter was, like, for three quarters, like, this was what you thought this team could be on its best day. Like, the quarterback is making plays again with really limited weapons. The defense is dominant. Like, I know that those things would be probably hard for them to conjure up because it's just such a bitter taste to lose the way they did. But, yeah, I think especially with Dart, I think you come out of this game feeling better, which is amazing to say because, you know, obviously they lost the game and he had a big turnover late. But, like, I thought he was, you know, it was a really, like, a courageous effort to go toe-to-toe with this defense in a hostile environment with, you know, shorthanded, don't be starting center. You know, like, a lot of things that could have made this a real bomb of a game where he just gets, you know, totally overwhelmed. And he didn't flinch. And I think that's kind of one of the characteristics that I think if he becomes a great quarterback, it's because he has that in him.
Giants score the most points against that Denver defense that they've given up all season and yet find a way to lose. Dan Duggan, safe travels home. We'll see what happens while you're in the air tomorrow.
Yeah, seriously, I'll have to get the Wi-Fi tomorrow on the flight because who knows.
All right, appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.